So my name is Jeremy Hawes. I worked for the sheriff's office across the river over in Bossier. Been there for about 4 years, I guess. Prior to that, I was a military, and I did that for 10, and I've done martial arts for almost 30, I guess, 29 years. So, and done a bunch of different ones. Done karate and judo and jiu-jitsu, and the more you do them, the more you find out they're all pretty much interrelated. You only punch and kick somebody so many ways. You only throw somebody on the ground so many ways. And you can call it different things and different style names, but at the end of the day, it's just being able to take care of yourself, is being able to use some techniques. So all of the political crap that comes with, well, it's this style, or I do taekwondo and karate sucks and that, whatever. You'll catch that from folks. That's just an ego thing. I mean, the big deal is really if you're going to do something to try to help yourself, who cares what they call it? Just do something that you know will work. The other thing is most people, and it's not down on anybody, but most people won't spend a whole lot of time practicing it or doing it. There are some that will just dive in and they'll do it every single day and they'll practice. And they can build muscle memory to certain techniques. But in most of the traditional martial arts, like I mentioned, karate, taekwondo, they kind of get you into a regime of where you do certain drills over and over and over and you drill it till it becomes a second nature. Unless you're going to do that, it's not really effective, I guess, to go to a class two nights a week and think that in a few months I'm going to be able to take care of myself against this or that, or for that matter. I mean, I know people have been going for several years and they get used to doing things a certain way in class, but when they have to deal with somebody out here that doesn't do it kind of the scripted way that they're used to in class, then they get freaking punched in the face and they don't know what to do. Then you're all upset. Well, you know, I did this and I got a black belt and they told me I'd be, I don't know, bulletproof, invincible, whatever it is that you are when you get a black belt, and you're not. I've got a bunch of black belts and I still get hit in the face and it still hurts. And it's just kind of how it goes. But what you will have is reflexes, and everybody's reflexes are pretty much the same. If I throw a ball at his face, he's going to do something, unless he's kind of a window licker. He'll just sit there and the ball hits him in the face. Now, I'm hoping that's not the case, and he's like most other people, will throw the ball over there, and he's going to move his head back, and his hands will come up to catch the ball because he doesn't want the ball to hit him in the face. And we'll try it later and see. Window licker? Not a window licker. We'll find out. So, but it only take one time, right? You get hit in the mouth, boom, you're bleeding. Damn, I was a window licker. I should have done this. So a lot of what we'll try to do is based on just reflex-type stuff that you can do, and you should be able to do fairly quickly. If you're going to learn just basic self-defense and a little bit of just some of the basic stuff, somebody grabs a hold of you, how to get away, what you can do that's quick and fast, you should be able to learn it in 4, 5, 6 minutes and do it and replicate it in a pretty short period of time. A little bit of practice here and there should be enough to kind of keep you to where you're able to do it. The other thing is traditional martial arts use real fine motor skills. They talk all the time about pressure points and all these little things, and I don't know. A lot, and unfortunately, a lot of those guys, and they'll throw it out there and they get mad when I say it. But most of them have really never been in a real fight in their life. They do this stuff in the dojo and it works when you got a semi-compliant person that you're working with and you know he's not going to kill you, it might hurt, but they've just never really, truly been in a fight. And when you get out there and really start hitting each other and the adrenaline's flowing, you can't see straight and you got tunnel vision and everybody's screaming and you don't hear any of it, for you to think that you're going to, I'm going to take this guy, I'm going to hit right here and hit this just this way, it just doesn't work. You resort back to the stinking grade school windmill tactic where we flail and swing, because all those fine motor skills go away and you get gross motor skills. Big muscle movements, big muscle groups, and that's why you see wild swings and chops and they look like it's just ugly. It's never real pretty. Even a good karate guy, I'm watching them guys, I've never seen him in a real fight where he's like, just a minute, let me get in my stance and I'm ready. And then when he fights, it's just like, no, it never looks that way. It looks that way in a ring because there's a referee. And there's people there that can intercede. Nobody's going to get their face ripped off. It just doesn't happen. In a real world, man, it never looks like that. They're over there they're kicking each other in the shins, and they're spastic and swatting and flopping. A little bit of practice, you can eliminate some of that and get something that's pretty decent out of it. But you just know that things degrade, they come apart, and it's never real pretty, and nothing ever works perfect. So if I hit somebody once and he's still standing there, I need to hit him about a dozen more times till he's not standing there. Don't hit him that one time and then be surprised. Well, my teacher told me that if I do this, he's going to drop, pow, and he's still standing. Oh, crap. Either you screwed up or he's just an exception to the rule. So you have to continue. the push, the reason I get to that is anything that you do, self-defense, martial arts, combatives, whatever, I don't care what they call it, what they label it, if you don't do it with the proper intent, it doesn't work, period. It's just, I can hit somebody, but if in the back of my mind or way deep down inside, I'm hitting him going, I'm going to hit him really hard, but I don't want to give it everything I got because I might really hurt him and I'm just being a good person. I don't want to hurt anybody. That's just me. I'm a regular person. I don't want to hurt anybody if I don't have to, but I'm okay with it. And that's kind of where you got to make that transition in who you are, is that most good, decent people, like you got in here, aren't going to go to somebody's house, poof, kick the door in, run in there waving a stinking gun around or a knife, and try to take jewelry or money so I can go buy some freaking bathtub meth. I'm just not going to do it. Because I'm a good person, my brain has a hard time sometimes being able to wrap around the concept that there are people out there that will do that and won't think twice about doing that. And they will shoot you and stick a knife in your face and stab you in the head and everything else they can do because they're just freaking morally defunct, broken, jacked up people that don't think like the vast majority of the public does. So us being the public, we got this perception problem that we have to deal with. If you're going to fight back, if you're going to survive, you have to decide you can be just as mean, just as ugly, and just as nasty, and do all of that stuff that that guy's going to do, and then some, because otherwise you're on an even playing field. And I'm not about fair. There's no such thing as a fair fight. And so when you start talking about things like sticking your thumb in somebody's eye, and their eye goes and pops out, and it's hanging on their cheek, most good people go, ooh, that's nasty. Oh, yeah, it is kind of nasty. But they get this little thing in their stomach, and they go, God, I hope I don't have to do that. I hope I don't have to do it, but you also have to have that kind of alter ego in you that is okay with doing that, because those people, those bad, evil people out there who do exist, will do that type of thing to you if it benefits their cause. If they're desperate enough, they want money, they want whatever it is, they'll do that. And there are some people who are just freaking twisted. There's no other way around. There's some people out there, for whatever reason, something happened, they're missing a puzzle piece, and they just not like us. They're just freaking bad people. Mr. Bill, the guy that owns the dojo and pretty much the whole block, martial artist for a long time, he's got a book, and I grabbed it and read it. It's an old one. It's expensive. It's out there. If you got like a bunch of money that you just are cool with burning, you can get it. But you can probably find it somewhere else with a hacker that's got it online, and you can probably download it in electronic form for free. Otherwise, you can buy it out of print for, now it's $150, $200, something like that now, because they're rare. But it's called Strong on Defense, and it's a guy that was an NYPD homicide investigator. Last name was Strong. And he talks about some of the things that he saw that happened in it over his time and what people had done. And then some of the people that survived, there was a lady in there, and they're young, but I'll hit it anyhow, who had opened her door to a salesman that came to the door. Now, mind you, this had been probably 30 years ago, I think, is about the time frame that this was taking place. But it was a door-to-door salesman. She opens the doors, talking to him, trying to be nice. He forces his way into the house. And before it's all over, he ends up binding her and gets her in the trunk of the car and drives out into the woods somewhere. Does all kinds of horrible, nasty, unspeakable things to her and beats her over the head with a freaking limb that he found and thinks she's dead. He doesn't want her identified, so he knocks her teeth out and then cuts off her hands and feet. And he's going to get rid of her hands and feet elsewhere. Can't identify the person. Well, she ain't dead. And somehow or another, somebody happens to come alongside the road and finds her, like, just after all this has occurred. They get her back to health, and she tells the story. This guy gets caught. But she wasn't the first person he'd done similar things to like this too. It was just him. He was just freaking broken. He's a bad person. He just busted inside. He's not going to be like the rest of us. No matter what we do, we can talk to him and give him flowers and color little pictures, and he's not coming back around. He ain't going to ever be like us. So once you understand there's people like that out there and that they will do desperate things, you have to be equal to and then plus one above that to be able to beat somebody like that, to defeat somebody like that, so that you can survive. And some of the other things I'll tell them, sometimes I say survive, and it's really win is kind of what we're talking about here, because, I mean, he can hop up, he's got a gun, he open carries. Notice I got one. He'll hop up and pow, shoot me. paralyze me. I pull mine out, pow, pow, shoot him back. He's dead. I survive. But man, I'm a freaking wheelchair paralyzed, eating through a tube. Yeah, is that surviving? Nah, probably. Yeah, I guess. But man, in my mind, that's not a win. So if I get into a situation that it's a hand-to-hand situation, I'm in my house doing my thing, I want to know that I'm able to flip that switch and go from my regular normal person into that wild, crazy, I'm a freaking gouge out your eyeballs and drag you around like a bowling ball type person, to that bad guy, because that's what it's going to take, and you got to do it quick. We can't play this game of back and forth, because he'll jump levels on you and then you get freaking caught. So you have to be able to take things way, way, way beyond what they're willing to do, and either they're going to run away or you'll put them down, and then you can go back to being your regular person and address and deal with the situation. So being this one's going to be geared on self-defense, or home defense rather, because we're looking at home invasion. It came about because I had done one back November, December time frame about shopping. Being out in the parking lots at the holidays, people coming up asking, hey, you got a dollar? Can I get it? But we, because we're nice, let people get too close to us. They want to get up there and they're right freaking in your grill and they're, come on, yeah, I need a dollar. But what's everybody down here taught, especially the women? Be polite, right? Southern women, Southern belles, we're all going to be nice and sweet, and we're not going to say anything ugly to anybody, and you never be rude. It's just the way it is. Now, New York, whole different deal. No, it's not really. They still do the same thing. There's people, they still try to be polite, and they let their defense down, and you'll let somebody you don't know get too close to you, and they start trying to stuff you in a car or start yanking on your purse. So it's okay to be rude. Slam the door in somebody's face. If you ain't liking what's going on, he's man insisting on coming in, slam the door in his face. Boogeyman jumps out. He's telling you, get in your house, get in your house. Well, my view on it, and this is, again, this is advice. My view on it is, man, I ain't going in that house. It's my house, yes. I've got guns all over that house. Hell, I've got damn samurai swords hanging around. But on the flip side, if I go in that house, he's already in control. And you go in there, now you're semi-secluded. There ain't anybody else out there on the street going to hear you hollering. And you're inside, and he's going to take his time and do whatever it is he wants to do. It might be a robbery, could be a rape, could be freaking estranged husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You just don't ever know. So I don't ever recommend anybody leave the scene of an initial contact. If it's a stinking carjacking, if it's a robbery, somebody trying to stuff you in a car at a gas station, man, you're going to have to shoot me right here in front of God and everybody, because I ain't getting in the car and going somewhere where you now all of a sudden pick and choose the playing field, and it's all home field advantage for him at that point. Then that person can pick and choose what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. And a lot of these people you'll find are prepped in that book. It's talking about some of these people they were dealing with. They're not riding around with freaking rope and duct tape and give ball gags and all kinds of crap in their car. They're out hunting. They were looking, picking people. So one is, yeah, you don't ever leave the scene. So, and kind of what we were talking about was initially some of this took place at this home invasion with people outside. People are out front on the porch and they're visiting, and it's just a party. People, it's a birthday party, is that right? They're in here if you didn't know. So it was a birthday party, and people show up, they've got a little pistol, they stick it in everybody's face and run everybody inside. Is what they did wrong? I don't want to say it's wrong, but most people in that are going to do that. It's kind of an instinctual, it's a survival thing. Hey, you guys sticking a gun in my face, don't rock the boat. But most of the time, that person that's going to do that isn't there. If they came there to shoot you, they'd have just went, pow, and it'd been over. It never would have made it to the get in the house and do all that stuff. So it probably isn't their intent. And the longer a person holds a gun on you, the better chance there is you're not going to get shot. Because if they really intend to shoot you, they're just going to do it right off the bat and be done with it. They're not going to drag their feet and make this a big prolonged ordeal. Does that mean that will always happen? No. Generally speaking, though, that's kind of the rule. So in a situation like if they're trying to put people inside, they didn't come there to shoot anybody. They didn't come there to kill anybody. They came there for robbery. It ended up that they did that because of how situations change. It's always kind of a fluid situation. Things change. And they kind of got pushed in to a situation like that. Somebody comes in and says, "Now, this is my house, so you ain't going to do this," and starts to fight back. Obviously, they were banking on the fact they were just going to intimidate and scare people with a gun and get what they wanted. And so things turn into something that they weren't at the beginning. What he did right or wrong, again, that's all a personal preference. I'm not going to I can't sit here and second guess it. And I, you know, I've got my opinions on how things go. Mine is, if you're sticking a gun in my face, it's, I hope you packed a lunch. It's going to be a bad day for somebody. It's just, you're not going to do it. It's just how I am. So you'll have to think about some of that stuff also ahead of time. And then you kind of get there's some skill sets and stuff that you'll develop that you can deal with some of those things. You start learning distances on people. And we'll get to all that here in a minute once we get you all out here on the floor. But one of the things I'll ask is, who has got a gun at home? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but most people, hell, you know I got one. If you've got one, one of the things they talk about is, one, where you keep it, and is it loaded, is it not, do you got a trigger lock on it? There's all kinds of different things that come into play, and all those are different for each person. Obviously, you have to find out what works for you, because if you got grandkids running around the house, you have to put this gun somewhere else, or if you've got little babies or little toddlers that are running around, you may want to keep it locked, you may want to put it up somewhere they can't get to, but the one thing I run into a lot when I start talking with folks is, well, I've got a gun, I'll do this. I don't need to do this or that or that. I've always, it just comes back to this whole theory that because they've got a gun, that makes them safe. If you know how to use it and you train with it and you practice with it and you have it, yeah, that is a huge equalizer when it comes down to how things go. But I'll give you, like, at my house, and I'm, if you hadn't noticed, I'm a huge proponent of, you don't have to do it, but don't step on mine with the Second Amendment right. Guns make a world of difference, especially if I have somebody his size attacking somebody her size. He, for whatever reason, just decides all of a sudden today he's the bad guy and jumps and is squeezing the crap out of you. A gun can make a huge difference, but so can a knife, a stick, a bat, pepper spray, whatever you got. You use whatever you got, whatever you can get a hold of to help you through things. But if you start thinking about where people keep them, it's usually in the bedroom, in a nightstand, under the bed, on top of the refrigerator, something like that. If I'm sitting on my couch watching TV, just hanging out watching a movie with a wife, and all of a sudden somebody kicks my front door in or comes around the back, kicks the back door in, do I have time to get up and run to the bedroom and get that? Probably not. A lot of times somebody kicking the door in, if you're awake, and unfortunately it's happening, or you hear about it more anyhow, but it happens frequently, and it seems to be, to me, more frequently than what it was years ago. Maybe it's just the news is better and it's more on top of things, and we got instant news on my stinking phone and the internet and everywhere I look, so I hear about more of it maybe. I don't know which, but so like for me, if I'm at home, I've got my gun on me. I just make it a point of having it there. That way I don't have to worry about where it's at. If I'm going to carry it, I'm going to be comfortable with it. I need to have it on me all the time. That way if somebody kicks my door in, well, we'll just deal with this right now. I don't have to worry about running looking for something. So things to think about if you choose. I'm not saying you should. It's entirely up to you. That's a personal decision. If you choose to do that, plan them, stage them, have them around. But at any rate, I'm going to let them, I talk to them ahead of time. I'm going to let them kind of just step up for just a second. And they will, if they're willing, and she's back here smiling now, look, I put her on the spot, now she's getting nervous. But they had mentioned before, and they told me that they were going to be okay with it. They'd kind of just recount a little bit of the story and what had taken place, and if you can believe it or not, and I'm going to toot her horn for a minute, or theirs, the police weren't making a whole hell of a lot of progress on this thing. And they get involved and start looking at, like, was it KSLA or KTBS, something like that, the news site? You know how these freaking idiots get on there and start making comments under news stories, and there's some comments that are made, and they catch it, and then some more questions come around, and they start to narrow it down. And through a process of elimination, and they end up going to Facebook, and all of a sudden, here's this jackass that was involved in the robbery wearing the same mask he had on the robbery on his Facebook picture. So they end up calling the police, and then it really kind of comes unraveling from there. So they're as good as the investigators, apparently, that work for Shreveport or Caddo in this particular situation, but they kind of had some skin in the game. So, like I said, they probably won't blow their own horn, but I will. I mean, that's freaking determination. You're going to get somebody stick a gun in your face, shoots and kills a friend of yours or an acquaintance of yours, for you to step up to the plate and go ahead and start swinging. Good on them.